There once was in Linen. He ate sumptuously every day. At his gate sat a poor man named Lazarus. He was covered in sores. He would gladly eat what fell from the rich man's table. The dogs of the neighborhood came and licked his sores. Lazarus died, and he was taken to the presence of Abraham. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And from the nether world, he looked up, and he saw Abraham and Lazarus with him. He cried out, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this place." Abraham said, "My child, during your life you received many good things, and during his life Lazarus received many evil things. Now Lazarus is being consoled, and you are in torment. Besides that, there is a gulf between you and us that no one can pass, so that we cannot go from here to you, nor can you come from there to us." The man said to Abraham, "Send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers. Let him warn them lest they come to this place of torment." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No," said the man, "if someone would come to them from the dead, they would repent." Abraham said, "If they are unwilling to accept Moses and the prophets, then they will never be convinced, even if someone were to rise from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. What we do this afternoon is fairly simple. We come in prayerful spirit to listen to the Word of God, to reflect on that Word, to examine our lives in light of that Word, to acknowledge before God our sin, and to seek God's mercy and forgiveness. And what we know is that when people of faith gather together, and when they pray in one spirit, God hears them and God answers. For Jesus told us that where two or three are gathered in his name, he stands among us. Toward the end of today's service, we will pray together, asking God's forgiveness, and we will acknowledge that we have sinned through our own fault, in our thoughts and in our words, in what we have done, and in what we have failed to do. I would like to take a few minutes to reflect with you about that last part of the prayer. For that is precisely what the gospel story is about. We acknowledge that we have sinned in word and in deed, in what we have done, and what we have failed to do. The rich man in the story was not an evil man. There is nothing in the story that suggests that he had anything against Lazarus. What the story does suggest, though, is that the man was absolutely oblivious to Lazarus. That he was so taken up with himself, so taken up with all those wonderful things that he brought his time and energy to, that he could not even see the man who sat in his front yard. The man who was sick, the man who was hungry, the man who was dejected. He came and went and he did his business. He lived his days and his weeks, and he never, ever even saw the man in the front yard. Luke is an artist and he paints wonderful pictures. One of the aspects of this parable is that Luke says, while this man did not recognize Lazarus, the dumb animals of the neighborhood did. That the dogs of the neighborhood recognized him. I really never understood that part of the story that said the dogs came to lick his sores. Until some years ago, I received a telephone call in the middle of the night and was asked to come to a house on the west side that a man of the community, a man of the parish, was dying. This was very early in the morning, 1:30, 2 o'clock. I got to the house and members of the family were there. We gathered around the man's bed. We prayed. We prayed together the prayer of the anointing of the sick. The man was barely conscious, and his breathing was very labored. Members of the family moved in and out of the room. They went out into the kitchen and the dining room, and then they came back into the bedroom. On the bed with the man was his dog and his cat. And what those animals were doing was licking him. They were licking his hands and they were licking his feet. They did what animals do when one is sick. They were taking care of the man in the only way they knew how. And then the light went on. The picture Luke was painting was that the dogs of the neighborhood could see the trouble the man was in. They could seek to comfort him. And yet the householder never even saw it. Well, what keeps me from seeing what's right before my eyes? I think very simply it's a preoccupation with oneself that doesn't allow one to move beyond the self. The attitude that allows me to see everything in the world through my own perceptions, to see what I want to see. And we know that that happens, that if we want to see it, we'll see it. And if we don't want to see it, we won't. When I was a child, Saturday mornings were the time when cleaning got done in the house. And my mother insisted that my sisters and brothers and I would each have a job in cleaning on Saturday morning. And then after a while, she'd come around to check. And she always found dirt. And she said, "You will see what you want to see. If you look for clean, all you'll see is clean. If you look for dirt, you'll find dirt. And a good cleaner looks for dirt." More than 30 years ago, reflecting on this passage from St. Luke's Gospel, Pope Paul VI said, "Over 2,000 years, we have come to a profound understanding of personal sin. And yet we fail as a Christian people to understand corporate or social sin." And so 2,000 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, it is still possible for Lazarus to sit at the gate of the rich man and for us to fail to call that sin. You and I were called in the sacrament of baptism and touched by the very mystery of Christ, so that we might see as Jesus sees, that we might hear as he hears, that we might perceive our world through his eyes. Sin darkens that vision. Selfishness keeps us from that sight. And what we ask God to do today is to allow us once again to see. To see what is around us and to see the joy and the goodness, the sorrow and the sadness that is present. And then with the Spirit of Jesus, to enter as fully as we can into the human condition. Knowing that in so entering into that human condition is where the very grace and gift of salvation is to be found. Paul tells us, even though he was of divine origin, he did not consider divinity something to be held on to. But he emptied himself. He poured himself out. He took upon himself the human condition. And he was known as one who was enveloped in that human condition in every aspect, even to the point of death. And that it is precisely because of that, precisely because Jesus lived out what was truly human, that he is raised up. And that he is given a name that is above every name, so that now every tongue must confess, every knee must bend, every acknowledgement must be made that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, we come before that Lord this day and we ask that we might see. We acknowledge that our sin involves what we have said and what we have done. But our sin also involves what we have failed to do. I would invite you to join with me as we take some time to reflect, to examine our conscience, and to place ourselves before the Lord, asking his mercy.
Listen, Lord, listen, Lord, not to our words, but to
our hearts and our minds to hear your word. Now we pray that your word enlighten our lives with your truth, that we may live in the freedom of your daughters and sons.
I have failed to acknowledge you as Lord of my life, and so I pray.
Listen, Lord. Listen, Lord.
I have failed to worship you in spirit and truth. I have failed to pray with attention and devotion. I have allowed musings and distracting thoughts to fill my mind at times of prayer, and so I pray.
Listen, Lord, listen, Lord.
I have allowed Sunday to come and go without making the effort to gather with sisters and brothers at the table of the Lord. And so I pray.
Listen, Lord. Listen, Lord.
I have neglected to hear and heed the voices and needs of family and neighbors. And so I pray.
Listen, Lord. Listen, Lord.
I have been uncharitable, abusive, or demeaning in word and deed to family members and neighbors, and so I pray.
Listen, Lord. Listen, Lord.
I have harmed the lives of others by raising my fist in anger, and for this I pray.
Listen, Lord. Listen, Lord.
I have stood by silently when others have been mistreated, abused, defamed, or ridiculed. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
I have failed to respect the privacy of others and have intruded where I have no business being. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord. Listen,
Lord.
I have trivialized sexuality and have used others for selfish pleasure. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
I have lied. I have cheated or defrauded my neighbor. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
I have failed to keep my promises to others. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
I have refused to live simply. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
We have not accepted that all I am and have is a gift from you. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
I have not had the courage to see your face in the faces of the downtrodden, the newcomer, the sick, the prisoner, the foreigner, the despised, and the forgotten. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
I have thought myself better than others. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
I have refused to forgive. I have maintained a grudging spirit. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
I have been self-satisfied and have refused to come to a deeper relationship with you. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
I have been lazy and undisciplined. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord.
Listen, Lord.
Lord God, create in me a clean heart. Take my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Let me see your word inscribed upon my heart. Accept my broken, humbled heart. And for this I pray.
Listen, Lord, listen, Lord, not to my words, but to our prayer. You, O Lord, understand and care.
We now take some minutes of time in our own mind and heart to place ourselves and our individual needs for mercy and forgiveness before the Lord our God.